بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most compassionate.
Alif Lam Mim Sad.
Alif Lam Mim Sad.
كتاب أنزل إليك فلا يكن في صدرك حرج منه لتنذر به وذكرى للمؤمنين.
This is a book revealed to you. Let there be no impediment in your heart about it. It has been revealed to you that you may thereby warn the unbelievers, and that it may be a reminder to the believers.
This is a book revealed to you.
The word book in this context signifies this very surah, Al-A'raf. Let there be no impediment in your heart about it. The Prophet, peace be upon him, is directed to preach his message without fear and hesitation, and to disregard his opponent's response. Such opponents may well be offended by his preaching of the message, or may hold to it ridicule, or go about maliciously twisting it, or acting with greater hostility. All this notwithstanding, the message of Islam must be preached. The Arabic word haraj, which we have translated as straightness, signifies an intractable bush. Straightness or constriction in the breast refers to the reluctance of a person to go ahead in the face of opposition. The following Quranic verse would seem to allude to this mental state of the Prophet, peace be upon him. We do indeed know how your heart feels distressed at what they say, Al-Hijr 1597. What painfully concerned the Prophet, peace be upon him, was to find out how he could direct a people whose adamance in opposition to truth had reached such high proportions to the right way. The same state of mind is again reflected in the Quranic verse, "Perhaps you might feel inclined to part with a portion of what has been revealed to you, and your heart feels straitened, lest they say, 'Why is a treasure not set down unto him? Or why does an angel not come with him?'" Hud 11:12.
That it may serve as a reminder to the believers.
The main purpose of this surah is to jolt the people out of their heedlessness and to warn them of the dire consequences that will follow if they reject the call of the Prophet, peace be upon him. Additionally, this surah also seeks to serve as a reminder to the believers, a purpose which is achieved incidentally by the warning made to the unbelievers.
اتبعوا ما أنزل إليكم من ربكم ولا تتبعوا من دونه أولياء قليلا ما تذكرون.
O men, follow what has been revealed to you from your Lord, and follow no masters other than Him. Little are you admonished.
And follow no masters other than Him.
The central theme of this whole surah and of the present discourse is the guidance which man needs in order to live a wholesome life, the knowledge which he requires in order to understand the reality of the universe and his own being and the purpose of his existence, the principles which he needs to serve as the basis for morality and social life, as well as culture
and civilization.
In this regard, man should look to God alone and follow exclusively the guidance which he has communicated to mankind through his messenger. To look to anyone other than God is dangerous, for it has always spelled disaster in the past and will always spell disaster in the future. In this verse, the word awliya, masters, refers to those whom one follows, regardless of whether one idolizes or curses them, and whether one acknowledges their patronship or strongly denies it.
وَكَمْ مِنْ قَرْيَةٍ أَهْلَكْنَاهَا فَجَاءَهَا بَأْسُنَا بَيَاتًا أَوْ هُمْ قَائِلُونَ.
How many a township we have destroyed. Our scourge fell upon them at night, or when they were taking midday rest.
فَمَا كَانَ دَعْوَاهُمْ إِذْ جَاءَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا إِلَّا إلا أن قالوا إنا كنا ظالمين.
And when our scourge fell upon them, their only cry was, "We are indeed transgressors."
We are indeed transgressors.
People can learn a lesson from the tragic fate of those nations that spurned God's guidance and instead followed the guidance of others. And they became so degenerate that their very existence became an intolerable burden on the earth. Eventually, God's scourge seized them, and the earth was cleansed of their filthy existence. The words uttered by the evildoers, "We are indeed transgressors," emphasizes two points. First, that it is pointless for one to realize and repent of one's wrongdoing after the time for such repentance is past.
Individuals and communities who allow the term granted to them to be wasted in heedlessness and frivolity, who turn a deaf ear to those who invite them to the truth, have so often been overtaken in the past by God's punishment.
Second, there are numerous instances of individuals as well as communities which incontrovertibly prove that when the wrongdoings of a nation exceed a certain limit, the term granted to it expires and God's punishment suddenly overtakes it. And once a nation is subjected to God's punishment, there is no escape from it. Since human history abounds in such instances, there is no reason why people should persist in the same iniquity and repent only when the time for repentance has passed.
فَلَنَسْأَلَنَّ الَّذِينَ أُرْسِلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَنَسْأَلَنَّ الْمُرْسَلِينَ.
So we shall call to account those to whom messengers were sent, and we shall call to account the messengers to see how dutifully they conveyed the message and how people responded to it. So we shall call to account those to whom messengers were sent.
The words "call to account" refers to the questioning people will be subjected to on the Day of Judgment, for it is the reckoning on the Day of Judgment that really matters. Punishment dealt upon corrupt individuals and communities in this world does not constitute their true punishment. Punishment in this world is no more than what happens when a criminal who has been strutting scot-free is suddenly arrested. The arrest constitutes no more than depriving the criminal of the opportunity to perpetrate further crimes. The annals of history are filled with instances where corrupt nations have been punished, proving that man has not been granted absolute license to go about doing whatever he pleases. Rather, there is a power above all that allows man to act freely, but only to a certain extent, no more. And when man exceeds those limits, that power administers a series of warnings in order that he might heed the warnings to give up his wickedness. But when man fails totally to respond to such warnings, he is punished. Anyone who considers the events of history will conclude that the Lord of the universe must have certainly appointed a day of judgment in order to hold the wrongdoers to account for their actions and to punish them. That the Quran refers to the recurrent punishment of wicked nations as an argument in support of the establishment of the final judgment in the hereafter is evidenced by the fact that the present verse, verse 6, opens with the word "so,"
and how people responded to it.
This shows that on the Day of Judgment, prophethood will be the main basis of reckoning. On the one hand, the prophets will be questioned about the efforts they made to convey God's message to mankind. On the other hand, the people to whom the prophets were sent will be questioned about their response to the message. The Quran is not explicit about how judgments will be made with regard to individuals and communities who did not receive God's message. It seems that God has left judgment, to borrow a contemporary judicial expression, reserved. However, with regard to individuals and communities who did receive God's message through the prophets, the Quran states explicitly that they will have no justification whatsoever to put forward a defense of their disbelief and denial of their transgression and disobedience. They are doomed to be cast into hell in utter helplessness and dejection.
فَلَنَقُصَّنَّ عَلَيْهِمْ بِعِلْمٍ وَمَا كُنَّا غَائِبِينَ.
Then we shall narrate to them with knowledge the whole account. For surely we were not away from them.
والوزن يومئذ الحق فمن ثقلت موازينه فأولئك هم المفلحون.
The weighing on that day will be the true weighing. Those whose scales are heavy will prosper. The weighing on that day will be the true weighing.
This means that when the balance is fixed on the Day of Judgment, truth and weight will be identical. The more truth one has to one's credit, the more the weight in one's scale, and vice versa. One shall be judged solely on the basis of this weight. In other words, no consideration other than truth will enter into the calculation. A life of falsehood, however long it lasted, and however full of worldly achievements, will carry no weight at all. Weighed in the balance, the devotees of falsehood will discover that their lifelong deeds do not even weigh so much as a bird's feather. The same point has been expatiated upon in Al-Kahf 18:103-5. Shall we tell you of those who are greatest losers in respect of their deeds? It is those whose efforts have been wasted in this life, while they kept believing that they were acquiring good by their deeds. They are those who deny the signs of their Lord and the fact of their having to meet Him in the hereafter. So their works are in vain, and we shall attach no weight to them on the Day of Judgment.
وَمَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُولَئِكَ الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يَظْلِمُونَ.
And those whose scales are light will be the losers, for they are the ones who have been unjust to our signs.
And those whose scales are light will be the losers.
For a full appreciation of this point, it is necessary to remember that man's deeds will be classified into positive and negative categories. The positive category will consist of knowing the truth, believing in it, acting upon it, and striving to make it prevail. It is such acts alone which will have weight in the hereafter. Conversely, whenever someone follows and goes after lusts or blindly follows other humans or Satans, his acts will be reckoned as negative. Such acts will not only be of no value at all, but will also have the effect of reducing the total weight of one's positive acts. Thus, a man's success in the hereafter requires that his good acts outweigh his evil ones to such an extent that even if his evil acts cause the effacement of some of his good acts, he should still have enough left in his credit to ensure his scale is inclined towards the positive. As for the man whose evil acts outweigh his good acts, he will be like the bankrupt businessman who, even after spending all his assets, remains under the burden of debt.
وَلَقَدْ مَكَّنَّاكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَجَعَلْنَا لَكُمْ فِيهَا مَعَايِشَ قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ.
We assuredly established you in the earth and arranged for your livelihood in it. Little do you give thanks.